Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yes, as predicted, it looks like we are on track for the Schumer shutdown, the Chuck Schumer shutdown. The Senate Republicans on X, they made a couple of really good points here as well, too. Let me scroll through my latest tweets here to give you a roll-up. Chuck Schumer would rather shut down the federal government than cut wasteful spending on trans surgeries in Guatemala. See, I shouldn't say Guatemala. I got to say Guatemala. He'd rather chop off body parts of kids in Guatemala with your taxpayer dollars than keep the federal government open. Good point there by the Senate GOP on X. They also made another good point here with the Schumer shutdown that's looming here. The most unbelievable part of a Schumer shutdown is that it has no purpose. There is no goal other than simply opposing Donald J. Trump. Americans shouldn't have to pay the price for Schumer's tantrum. Let's see, what did Wyoming Senator John Barrasso say? Oh, good, I got that one right here, front and center as well. But just that point, though, like, okay, so Schumer wants to shut down the government. You only need 7 or 8 Democrats to vote to prevent a government shutdown, but Schumer wants to shut it down. But why? What's his argument? What's his reasoning? What's his messaging? This is just a continuing resolution that basically continues funding at 2024 levels, which is still too much, right? Everybody would acknowledge, except for the Democrats, of course, that's still way too much money. But this is a short-term path before we get to that one big, beautiful bill, the reconciliation package coming here later this year. So what's Chuck Schumer's goal here? I think he's just trying to get the Republicans to cave on something stupid, and I think the message needs to be don't cave on anything stupid with that guy. The Democrats are a train wreck right now. The Democrats are drowning in their own stupid policies. Don't throw them a rope. Wyoming Senator John Barrasso, who is in the Republican leadership now as well, he says it seems the Democrats really do want to shut down the government. Schumer did not bring a single appropriations bill to the floor of the Senate last year, even though they came out of the committee with bipartisan support. Now, all of a sudden, he says he needs 30 days. Wyoming Senator John Barrasso says, I don't view this as a serious offer from the Democrats. Now, John Jackson, our friend John Jackson, the Joker from X, he had a great response to all this as well. I got to scroll further down in my latest tweets here to pull up what he said here. But basically, bottom line is he said, you know, remember when the Democrats controlled the Senate and the Republicans were in the minority and they needed Republican votes in order to get a continuing resolution through or whatever? There was no deal for the Republicans. The Democrats just shoved through what they wanted to shove through. So, yeah, no freaking deal for the Democrats now when the shoe's on the other foot either. We've already seen what their deals involve. Sex changes in Guatemala, the undermining of American foreign policy, funding America's enemies. Yeah, no freaking deal for Chuck.
Here's a look at your Montana weather. For Billings and Bozeman, with mostly cloudy skies across the area today, we'll also see some rain showers moving in, especially this afternoon. High temperature readings will range from around 54 in Bozeman to the mid-60s in Billings. For tonight, we'll see areas of rain mixing with and turning to snow showers overnight, with any accumulations less than an inch. Low in the mid-20s in Bozeman, 33 in Billings. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly.
Securing America.
The Senate Armed Services Subcommittee hearing Wednesday examined U.S. military readiness. Alaska Republican Senator Dan Sullivan.
We are living in a very dangerous world where our adversaries can and regularly do contest us across the globe.
Army Vice Chief of Staff General James Mingus warning.
Our adversaries are moving faster than we are.
Military branch representatives agreed that the biggest reason for that is a lack of consistent funding. General Mingus adding,
ultimately, the Army can afford a large, ready, or modern force, but with the current budget, it cannot afford all three.
Admiral James Kilby is the Vice Chief of Naval Operations.
Consistent and predictable funding is foundational to our improvement efforts.
All of the military leaders testified that continuing resolutions used to fund the government negatively impact military readiness. Kevin Gretzky, Fox News.
So there's a crazy Montana connection to the Sean Diddy Combs assault cases. Yeah, crazy Montana connection. The New York Times had a big story earlier this week, but they couldn't say which law firm in Billings, Montana was manning this whole call center. We found out the answer. It's all there. Go to MontanaTalks.com. Plus, how many Montanans have to get up and go to work each day just to pay for one federal employee? MontanaTalks.com.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh my goodness. This had to be timed. They had to time this whole thing. Maybe they didn't time the whole thing. What got Rosie O'Donnell to record that video talking about moving to Ireland? Yesterday at this time slot, I was talking about God save Ireland. God save Ireland. And then we started playing all the great, Dropkick Murphys and more throughout the 6 o'clock hour. We started talking about iPods and Sony Walkmans and transistor radios, then later on in the 7 o'clock hour of the show. What got Rosie O'Donnell to record this video about why she self-deported to Ireland? I wonder what the timing was. Because then all of a sudden that clip makes it on. Was it Jesse Waters who featured it first? Where did we first see this? I can't remember. And then all of a sudden, the next thing you know, the very next day, Donald J. Trump is hosting the leader of Ireland in the Oval Office. I mean, you couldn't have planned. I mean, I wonder, it'd be funny to ask somebody inside the Trump White House, okay, tell us how this really went down. Did Trump see the Rosie O'Donnell clip and then say, that's it, I want the leader of Ireland in the Oval Office on Wednesday? Yeah, because boy, do they know how to produce a TV show. Boy, do they know how to produce a show. The leader of Ireland is in the Oval Office with President Trump yesterday. And he brings up Rosie. Actually, no, it wasn't even Donald Trump who brought up Ireland. It was one of the reporters in the Oval Office. Here you go. This is from Fox and Friends first earlier this morning, and then Joe Concha jumps in.
Ireland is known for very happy, fun-loving people. Why in the world would you let Rosie O'Donnell move to Ireland? I think she's going to lower your happiness level.
That's true. Thank you. I like that question. Do you know you have Rosie O'Donnell?
No.
Do you know who she is? Do you know who she is?
Yeah.
You're better off not knowing.
Fox News contributor Joe Concha joins me now. Joe, we know celebrities always threaten to leave the country because of Trump, but Rosie actually followed through with it, so credit to her. Trump's loving it, though, Joe.
Oh, yes. And when you look at Todd, the accomplishments of President Trump in his first 7 weeks in office, one can make the argument that the border going from as high as, 10,000 border crossings a day under Joe Biden, going to virtually non-existent, that's arguably a big one. But when you consider that Trump compelled Rosie O'Donnell to self-deport out of the country, it's hard to say that that is not the biggest accomplishment for Trump 2.0. And overall, Trump has just seemed so relaxed and jovial in public situations when you compare him to his first term, Todd, which was a time where he wasn't necessarily comfortable with his cabinet and his team around him. He was dogged by the whole Russia collusion hoax. But this relaxed demeanor often comes out in the form of comedy. And as we saw at the joint session earlier this month, it's often quite hilarious. So when you juxtapose that with Democrats who are, when they're not singing, come across as angry, as old, unhinged, zero humor, it's quite the telling contrast, Todd.
All right, there you go. Yes, Donald Trump. Do you know who Rosie O'Donnell is? And the leader of Ireland looked like, no speak English. he was just like, who, what? Don't speak English. And then Trump's like, you're better off not knowing. Oh, man, freaking hysterical. But, yeah, hey, credit to Rosie O'Donnell. At least she, like Donald J. Trump, is doing what she said she would do. Don't you wish all these other, wacko leftists who said they would leave the country if Donald J. Trump was elected would actually follow suit? Would actually follow suit. And by the way, we still need to get a story on our Montana Talks website about our proposed MDT1 app for any of the Rosie O'Donnell followers here in Montana who've had it. They've had enough. They're ready to leave. We need to make it easier for you to self-deport out of Montana as well. That'll help with our housing prices. That'll help. Okay, speaking of deporting, the Mahmoud Khalil case, very interesting. Constitutional lawyer, a constitutional law professor, Jonathan Turley, was on with Bill Hemmer and Martha McCallum yesterday on Fox News, and he explained why the federal government is well within their rights to deport this guy who is here on a visa. Anyway, that's the Khalil case that we've been talking about a lot over the past couple of days here as well.
Now, this is a 1227 determination, as it's called, from the Secretary of State, where he has personally reviewed this file and said, I believe that this was called LPR. He should leave the country in the interest of the United States. Now, Khalil's lawyers are going to have a major issue up front because he is not in New York. And the question is whether this court even has the jurisdiction to issue any type of order because the actual what's called custodian of this individual is down in Louisiana. So there has to be that threshold fight as to whether this court has any role to play at all or whether it has to defer to Louisiana. Now, underlying this is also what are legitimate free speech concerns. You know, when the government says they're going to be rounding up a lot of folks to be deported, you have to look at what that standard is. You're allowed to protest in favor of Palestine. What the government is saying here is that he went well beyond that, that he was involved in illegal conduct at Columbia, where he's no longer a student, that he aligned himself with Hamas, a terrorist organization, and that plays heavily in favor of the government.
Yeah, it also plays heavily in favor of the Republicans because the Democrats, it is so insane. They are rallying around that guy. They want to keep him here because he's one of their party henchmen in the streets of New York City. Speaking of henchmen in New York, did you guys see Tom Homan react to the protesters in the New York Capitol? He went full-blown Pierre Poilievre, just ate the apple as he walked by these clowns.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
King or queen for the day on housing policy and regulation, what would you do? I, for one, would resist the urge to add more policies. There are dozens and dozens already, many of which are expensive and totally ineffective. I'd pull a plug on things like the deductibility of mortgage interest on federal income tax, which do nothing to affect the home ownership rate and actually help people buy bigger houses. I'm especially leery of adding policies that help people afford housing. Not that people don't need help for affording housing, far from it. But such policies don't lower housing prices, they support low-income households. My King for the Day directive would be to focus on actions that boost housing supply. In fact, if people are talking about things that don't impact the supply, I'd table this discussion. We need to start measuring our performance in permitting new housing across cities and then prod those places to make progress. Growth restrictions are too popular for many places to do it on their own. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. GOP Georgia Representative Barry Loudermilk is itching to get going with a select subcommittee to investigate January 6th. Loudermilk says the panel would, quote, uncover the full truth that is owed to the American people. House Speaker Mike Johnson announced a new probe even after Republicans controlled the House for 2 years. Loudermilk recently released security footage of the attack during the last Congress. He's also worked to undermine the narrative laid out by the Democratic-led select committee previously tasked with investigating January 6th. That inquiry found that President Trump spurred supporters to try to overturn the 2020 election. Loudermilk put together another report, which came out in December. It recommended that the FBI investigate former GOP Wyoming Representative Liz Cheney for how she handled witnesses. Democrats have criticized Loudermilk's investigation. They described this as an effort to clear Trump's name and whitewash the attack on the Capitol. In order to establish a select subcommittee, the House must first adopt a resolution. When the Speaker announced the new panel, he struck an urgent tone, but nothing's happened since. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
With the Daybreak Ag Report on the Western Ag Network, I'm Lane Northlund. Yesterday, U.S. Environmental Protection Agency Administrator Lee Zeldin announced a major revision to the waters of the United States definition.
To make sure that we are fixing WOTUS once and for all, that we are pursuing a definition that is simple, that is durable, and it will withstand the test of time. Our goal in going through this process is not to be an activist in going through a procedure. This is to simply follow the rule of law.
Mary Thomas Hart, chief counsel for the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, says the revised WOTUS rule will incorporate the U.S. Supreme Court's 2023 decision in Sackett v. EPA.
In Sackett versus EPA, that decision overturned the significant nexus standard. It established a new, much more narrow standard for which features can be considered waters of the U.S. And that standard is wetlands with a continuous surface connection to relatively permanent waters, which seems like a pretty easy standard to implement. Relative permanence seems like relative permanence. But we saw the Biden administration in form apply the Sackett standard. They amended the Biden administration's WOTUS definition to conform to the verbiage of the Sackett decision. But then we saw some pretty aggressive implementation of WOTUS across the country. Increased permitting, increased enforcement actions through the end of the Biden administration.
But Mary Thomas Hart points out that since the Clean Water Act was enacted back in 1972, there have been 14 different regulatory iterations of the waters of the U.S. Many in the agriculture community hope the latest version will provide lasting clarity and end regulatory uncertainty.
That's untenable if you're trying to manage a business, plan future land management actions, plan how to pass your ranch on to the next generation. How we manage our land impacts all of those decisions.
EPA will seek input from stakeholders on the revised water rules in a public comment session. For more on the revisions to the waters of the U.S. rule, visit westernagnetwork.com.
Are you looking for a bull that can perform in the big country? Black Summit Cattle invites you to their annual bull sale March 21st at 1 o'clock p.m. in Powell, Wyoming. Offering 97 pap-tested St. Angus bulls developed for large pastures, high desert country, and longevity. Specializing in producing cattle that make your life easier and your business more profitable. For more information, visit blacksummitcattle.com. And you can also bid live at bid.superiorlivestock.com. Black Summit Cattle, where cattle that perform get the ribbon.
I'm Kara Ronan from Rody Farm, and I became a member of the Montana Farmers Union for the community and connections with other producers that create a strong network of farmers and ranchers who unite in the fight for family farms here in Montana. I really love being able to work with MFU with my boots on the ground to help steer policy not only locally here in Montana, but nationally as well.
Join us in supporting Montana family farms and ranches across the state of Montana. Learn more today at MontanaFarmersUnion.com.
New data out from the Association of Equipment Manufacturers shows U.S. sales of ag tractors and combines dropped in February. Tractor sales fell nearly 18%, while combine sales plunged 48%. Four-wheel drive tractors saw the biggest hit, down 41%. Our neighbors to the north up in Canada had four-wheel drive tractor sales surge up 237% from a year ago, but combine sales saw a drop of 32%. I'm Lane Northlund, Western Ag Network.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we got to do a bit of a lightning round here. Yeah, we've got a great guest coming up here, 6:40 this morning.
our friend Scott Aspenlighter with the Billings City Council. He's actually guest hosted the show before. He last joined us down at the SHOT Show in Vegas, but he wants to talk about these proposed property tax relief bills and what the impacts potentially could be on city taxes at the city level. So that should be interesting. And the same concerns he's raising from a Billings perspective, you could apply to Butte, to Bozeman, to your small town as well. So that should be interesting here in just a few minutes. All right, Rosie O'Donnell. Oh, man. Oh, Greg Gutfeld, come on, man. That's just wrong. That's just wrong what Greg Gutfeld said about Rosie O'Donnell self-deporting herself to Ireland. Man, and speaking of Rosie, hold on. I'll get to Rosie in just a second here. But first off, Lane Nordland, a great report there about the latest action by Trump EPA Administrator Lee Zeldin. That they didn't just come out and announce some changes to that BS Waters of the U.S. regulation that the Democrats have been trying to force on our nation's farmers and ranchers now for over a decade. There was like, I think two dozen BS regulations that the Trump administration, the Trump EPA is now basically, you know, calling BS on. I've got a couple of great reports here in my stack of stuff. I'm trying to rush through it here and pull it up for you. But basically, yeah, they outlined like two dozen different things that they're going to start reining in now. One of them, I've already got this in front of me here. One of them comes from the Washington Examiner. They've got a report. Trump EPA set to reverse Biden's crackdown on coal-fired power plants in a lifeline to the industry. The EPA announced, well, this was actually a preview to what was announced on Wednesday. EPA reconsidering federal regulations the Biden administration put forward as part of its crackdown on coal-fired power plants. This is according to the Washington Free Beacon. The announcement tees up a likely overhaul of the rules. And yeah, now I see it. There's a full video on X from EPA Administrator Lee Zeldin. I said two dozen, more than that. The EPA is initiating 31 historic actions to power the great American comeback in the greatest day of deregulation in American history. Our actions will unleash energy dominance, lower costs for Americans, strengthen the U.S. auto industry, and protect our environment. That's from EPA Administrator Lee Zeldin. So more than two dozen. So there we go. Great news coming out for our farmers, our ranchers, our coal miners, our power plant workers. A lot of union jobs in there, too, by the way. A full 2 minutes of Schumer shutdown stories. Schumer, it should be all Schumer shutdown all the time now. The Schumer shutdown fear campaign. Because, you know, if the Republicans were threatening a federal government shutdown, that'd be all the dong, all the news updates would be about the Schumer shutdown. Have there been any localized stories yet in the MTN TV station updates and Lee newspapers, the left-wing liberal news sources like the Montana Free Press? Any localized stories about this is what a government shutdown would do? Where's the fear porn? You're supposed to have the government shut down fear porn. Oh, that's right. That's only if you think you can blame it on the Republicans. Don't worry. Give them a couple of days. They'll figure out a way to try to blame it on the Republicans. And then the fear porn will commence. good night. Oh, man. This was the going back to Rosie O'Donnell here for a second. Going back to Rosie O'Donnell moving to Ireland and the hilarious Oval Office back and forth with President Trump. The best line of the day. I had to tweet this out. This is a message that came in on the Montana Talks app, and I had to tweet this out because it's just too good. It's the quote of the day here. Tim and Savage last night sent us a message. He says, I was a little worried when I heard the Prime Minister of Ireland was in the Oval Office. Donald J. Trump has been forcing nations to take back their citizens. And I thought the Prime Minister of Ireland was here to do the same. I thought he was going to force us to take Rosie O'Donnell back. Well, you can rest assured, Tim. Thankfully, the Prime Minister of Ireland doesn't even know who she is, so hopefully he's not trying to send her back. I said it earlier. Oh, Greg Gutfeld, that's just wrong, man. Here you go. The Five on Fox News weighing in on Rosie O'Donnell self-deporting to Ireland.
Yeah, they'll find out soon enough when she gets there and eats them out of house and home. You know, I have this idea, and I'm going to give it to Fox Nation because that's the kind of person I am. You know the VH specials, Where Are They Now? Yes. They need to do Where Are They Now for political moments. The legendary debate, Trump, Megyn Kelly, Rosie O, where are they? So you have, like, where did they, like, one catapulted to the presidency, one went to NBC and then to podcast stardom, and the other one went to the land of the potato. I'm Greg Gutfeld. Join me now for Where Are They Now? Political style. By the way, they never give you the real reason why they're leaving. Like Ellen DeGeneres says she was going to London because of Trump. No, it's because she was a monster and everybody hates her. That's the same thing with Rosie. She, you know why she's leaving.
Why?
Right? We know why she's leaving. Come on. We know. It's literally an ego trip. Once nobody likes you, you just leave.
So when are you leaving, Jesse?
Listen, you say one thing to Dana about tariffs and she hates you. You'll come around.
All right. Anyway, great back and forth. You can find that foxnews.com/video. Thanks to our producer, Caden, for snagging that one for us and many others. All right. Scott Aspenlider from the Billings City Council talking about property tax relief bills in the Montana legislature. I think he's calling in right after this.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, man, this is hilarious. So I told you, I need to do this more often. I need to tweet out some of the good messages that come in from you guys, from yous guys in Butte, and then you guys everywhere else. I need to tweet out some of the messages we get from time to time because they're so great, and we share them on the radio, but then it's kind of fun to share them out on X as well. So I shared out the quote of the day from Tim in Savage. I was a little worried when I heard, I don't need to repeat it for you, but anyway, it was him talking about, you know, maybe the Irish Prime Minister was here to force us to take our citizen Rosie O'Donnell back. Anyway, I tweeted that out, quote of the day, and Jeff Bolstad said this about that quote from Tim in Savage. Coach T from downtown. Yeah, with the great quote of the day there. And I said, you got to cue up the Marv Albert. Yes. You guys remember Marv Albert from back in the days when basketball was great in the 90s? Yes, from Marv Albert. Okay, let's jump into the phone lines here. We've got a Billings City Council member and a great Montana businessman, Scott Aspenlider. He's done a great job filling in for us here on Montana Talks several times over the past as well. Scott, thanks for calling in this morning.
Hey, Aaron, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good. You're coming in somewhat scratchy there. I don't know if you got us on a speakerphone or what, but hopefully it'll sound all right here. Let's see. So a lot of bills looking to reduce property taxes in the Montana legislature. We're at halftime right now during the transmittal break. You were telling me you've got some concerns with how these things could impact taxes at the local city level. What do you want to tell folks across Montana?
Yeah, so, you know, I think yesterday you had some of our legislators on talking about the myriad of things that are going on there. But, you know, everybody really is concerned about what are we doing about property taxes? And, you know, this isn't a new problem for the state of Montana. Unfortunately, you know, this year, like most years, we kind of play the shell game around actual tax reform. We shift brackets, we change multipliers, all that stuff means nothing. I'm just a dumb dirt kicker from Culbertson, right? I know more about tax policy now than I ever wanted to. and it's not easy to follow, but you know, what goes on in Helena as we talk about tax reform is oftentimes a shell game. This year, the governor's got a couple bills out that, that are running parallel, House Bill 231 and House Bill 155. And the goal really is to shift the burden back from, you know, your residential taxpayers over to commercial taxpayers. At the same time, that creates some things like what he calls the homestead exemption. So, you know, you get taxed at a lower rate on a property valued, you know, your primary house valued at up to $720,000, which is good for the primary homeowner. The net of that then just gets shifted over, you know, the reduction just gets shifted over into commercial property taxes. So, you know, we don't necessarily see a reduction overall in taxes. What that means for the city of Billings, though, because we have a mill cap, we can't just assess on property taxes. We have a 74 mill cap that was put in by our charter. We can only assess so much, where Bozeman, Missoula, they just keep increasing taxes. Our citizens were smart. We put a cap in place that controlled government spending and made us live within a budget. But when you get bills like what are working through right now, we really take the brunt of it. Billings with these two bills is looking at anywhere from a $6.5 to $7 million reduction in tax revenue, because we don't have the second homes like Western Montana does that carry the shift of the tax burden. These bills create a $7 million deficit in our budget, while they create an additional $1.5 to $2 million in surplus above and beyond what currently exists for Bozeman and Missoula, which are the two communities that everybody talks about being frustrated that they don't control spending.
Yeah, but so, Bozeman and Missoula, they don't have to shift any burden whatsoever. They can make the right decision. Just because the state cuts property taxes doesn't mean that naturally now Bozeman and Missoula have to raise taxes on their residential or shift the burden to anybody else. They just need to rein in their own spending. I mean, that's been the big problem in places like so if
100% true.
Yeah. So my follow-up would be, okay, so the city of Billings, if we the people get property tax relief, which the people of Billings desperately need. Look at all of the growth in Billings and Yellowstone County. You can't tell me that the city of Billings couldn't have figured out a way to trim $6 or $7 million to give back to the taxpayers of the city of Billings. Everybody else can give property tax relief. Why can't Billings give some property tax relief? They've had so much growth. They've had, like, why can't they figure out a way to give property tax relief? Why are they acting like this is, oh, if the state gives property tax relief, it's going to harm the city of Billings?
Well, here's the caveat to that. The 94 mills that we assess, 78% of that funds public safety. 78% of those 94 mills, which, you know, equate to $94 million or $96 million, 74% or 78% of that funds public safety. And that's not made up. I mean, we pay $34 million to the Billings Police Department, and another $24 million or so come into the fire. So when you see these kind of cuts, I mean, we could cut the entire park's budget and make up this $7 million.
So, yeah, I guess it still comes back to what is the city of Billings been doing all of these years? We haven't seen a prioritization of public safety, and that's why they keep going back to the taxpayers to ask for an extra. I know one thing you and Jennifer Owen have been doing is identifying, you know, money within the budget that can be directed to public safety that was being directed elsewhere. And we've seen a lot of woke stuff, a lot of bureaucracy, and
in the city. But it just seems like the city, and now part of the challenge is that you've still got a liberal city council, although now maybe that's shifting finally. So the city of Billings, unfortunately, still has a very liberal city government that's never prioritized public safety. They've always put that as an extra add-on. And that despite all this growth, despite them getting more and more taxpayers, they still keep needing more. And so that's why I think a lot of people would be like, why would the city of Billings tell us that they can't afford a property tax relief at the state level for we the people?
And see, I would dispute a lot of the data. And believe me, I was 100% in your shoes until I stand in my shoes and look at this budget. The reality is Billings has been pretty conservative in its spending growth versus its population growth, which is part of the problem that we're behind in public safety. Now, you're correct. We have made some shifts in dollar allocations from places like parks and library and transit back into public safety. Those are all true, and we're continuing to do that. We also are looking at carrying a flat budget going into next year and freezing our utility rates to control spending again. But with this budget and these cuts, they're not done in a way that the taxpayer is really going to see the benefit. I mean, what it's going to do to us, and this is just the reality, we could absorb a couple million dollars. There's no question about that. And I think that's where we were headed with our budget anyway. But to take, a $7 million cut like this, it forces some very hard decisions. I mean, to do this proportionately in our budget, we'd be looking at a reduction of 24 police officers, 18 firefighters. We'd get rid of the second municipal judge, and we'd probably lose four or five prosecutors.
Yeah. I know what the state has done in the past. And Scott, hold that thought. I'll come back to you after the break here. What the state has done in the past is they've basically provided funding to localities to make up for that gap in order to deliver property tax relief. I wonder if that's what the ask is from the city, because the question might be, well, so what? What do we do about it? Because property tax relief needs to happen, so what do we do about it? Stand by.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
Donald Trump, in many ways, he has the upper hand, I would argue, over Vladimir Putin because of the state of Putin's economy. And I'll tell you, if Putin keeps ratcheting up the pressure, I think what Donald Trump needs to do is really follow through on his push for energy dominance and making America the most energy-rich country on the face of the earth. And then as soon as we do that, we can sell all of that extra natural gas, oil, coal to our European allies and become the main source of their energy, which would be safer for them just for national security reasons, number one. And it would be a financial boom for the American people and would create, untold numbers and hundreds of thousands of high-paying career jobs for Americans.
Check out the Sean Hannity Radio Show later today, right here.
Look, this country was founded on freedom. Freedom from a country that forced us to buy overpriced tea and then trying to blockade us when we dumped their tea into the ocean. How'd that work out? Well, it's time to throw your overpriced big wireless contract overboard as well. Pure Talk, a veteran-owned company, my cell phone company, says no to inflated prices. With a qualifying plan, you can choose an iPhone 14 or a Samsung Galaxy for $0. And yes, this is for premium service on America's most dependable 5G network. Get your iPhone 14, Samsung Galaxy, $0 qualifying plan by dialing #250. Say the keyword save now, and Pure Talk's U.S. customer service team will make the switch in as little as 10 minutes. No hassle, no gimmicks, just honest-to-goodness wireless price right. #250, keyword save now. Claim your new iPhone or Galaxy with a qualifying purchase from Pure Talk, which is America's wireless company. Visit puretalk.com for details.
Here's a look at your Montana weather. For Billings and Bozeman, with mostly cloudy skies across the area today, we'll also see some rain showers moving in, especially this afternoon. High temperature readings will range from around 54 in Bozeman to the mid-60s in Billings. For tonight, we'll see areas of rain mixing with and turning to snow showers overnight with any accumulations less than an inch. Low in the mid-20s in Bozeman, 33 in Billings. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly.
The galaxy is safe once again.
In the pretend universe, kids play with pretend guns. In the real world, it's up to us to make sure they don't get their hands on a real gun. If you have a gun in the house, keep it locked, unloaded, and stored separately from ammunition. Safe gun storage saves lives. Learn how to make your home safer at nfamilyfire.org. That's nfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by N Family Fire, Brady, and the Ad.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, I forget. I think it must have been a county commissioner or somebody like that. They were saying, look, what's happened in the past is when the state had to lower property taxes, whether it was business equipment taxes or something like that, they would basically, you know, provide, you know, payments from the state. And we've got a budget surplus right now, so there's the ability to do this in order to help localities kind of weather that initial impact of the property tax relief at the statewide level. So, yeah, I think we've got Scott Aspenlighter still with us here. Scott, that's what I think everybody kind of wonders, okay, so what's the so what here? Is that the so what here? Is like, okay, because tax relief is coming. The governor wants it, Republicans want it, and even the Democrats know they have to want it as well. So it's coming. Correct. So what? What do we do about it for budgets like yours? That's question number one. And then point number two, I'll just throw out there since I know this is kind of a quick couple of minutes here. Point number two is, you know, the city of Billings actually could have had better economic growth, could have had an even more stronger budget scenario if they weren't so hostile to building inside city limits. When we look at growth in Billings, we're really not just talking about the city itself. We're actually talking about the county. The county is growing like crazy. And so, but the city, you know, they still had hostile, you know, building codes and things like that that make builders not want to build in city limits. So anyway, that was the two points I wanted to bring up.
Sure. Yeah. And I would say we're working on the second one with the Home Builders Association and commercial contractors and construction companies. That's a work in progress, but a discussion for a whole nother day and a whole nother time. The question about what's the solution? I mean, I want property tax relief just as much as anybody. I think House Bill 90, which is working its way through, that plays a little bit towards what you referenced there, where we're shifting some of these entitlement share programs or in out of the general fund and into property tax relief. So we're taking, you know, some of the special revenue generated in the state of Montana, whether that's gambling taxes or alcohol revenue or those types of things, shifting it out of the state general fund and into an offset on property tax relief. That is true tax relief. That's not playing the shell game. The other thing that could be done, it's not a permanent solution, it's not a great solution, frankly, is, you know, the city could be exempted because we have a mill cap, a control over our spending put on by our citizens. We could be exempted from this bill and run this over all the other cities. We are the only major city, us and Sunburst.
Sunburst also a major city. You and I are the only people that know Sunburst. Sunburst.
you know, Billings and Sunburst are the only two communities in the state of Montana that have a mill cap voluntarily. You know, so if you really wanted to impact local spending, you know, the legislature could say, hey, every one of you communities is going to do it like Billings. You're all going to put your own mill cap on and force local control of spending. I mean, the League of Cities and Towns would lose their ever-loving mind.
Well, in all reality, that's what needs to happen. Oh, yeah, the League of Cities and Towns in Montana, you want to talk about a left-wing outfit right now, I mean,
good night. I see some of the stuff coming out of the League of Cities and Towns, and it's like, oh, yeah, for Pete's sake. And by the way, yeah, no, you're exactly right, Scott. Like, we need to figure out a way to limit these other city governments and their spending in these other localities. I mean, that's why the people in Missoula and Missoula County have gotten hammered with a 20% increase in their taxes. Yeah. It's because of Democrats controlling the city council and Democrats controlling their county commission and the insatiable spending that they have. Scott Aspenlighter, great to hear from you. Thanks for calling in. That was a great discussion. Speaking of Missoula, Jacob Elder had a great point here about the city of Missoula. Even after increasing taxes in Missoula by 16%, the mayor of Missoula still can't balance the budget in Missoula. They still have a $4 million shortfall. And that's today's Oh for Pete's Sake moment.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
King or queen for the day on housing policy and regulation. What would you do? I, for one, would resist the urge to add more policies. There are dozens and dozens already, many of which are expensive and totally ineffective. I'd pull the plug on things like the deductibility of mortgage interest on federal income tax, which do nothing to affect the home ownership rate and actually help people buy bigger houses. I'm especially leery of adding policies that help people afford housing. Not that people don't need help for affording housing, far from it. But such policies don't lower housing prices, they support low-income households. My King for the Day directive would be to focus on actions that boost housing supply. In fact, if people are talking about things that don't impact the supply, I'd table this discussion. We need to start measuring our performance in permitting new housing across cities and then prod those places to make progress. Growth restrictions are too popular for many places to do it on their own. I'm Patrick Buckey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.